Thursday Morning with the Musers. And I want to talk about Chernobyl in this segment because you may have heard about the new miniseries on HBO, Chernobyl. We are 4 episodes in. I'm caught up. And I can't believe that we don't talk more about the Chernobyl accident. It happened 33 years ago.
It's pretty bad.
1986, April 26th. And I am not, this may surprise you, a nuclear physicist.
Really?
I don't really understand all the goings-on at a nuclear power plant, but basically, they were running some tests, and by the way, up until this moment, from, say, 1976 to 1986, I believe the years that Chernobyl was active, the power plant there, they determined there was so much in the way of mismanagement and violations and, like, it was a disaster waiting to happen. Something bad was going to happen at some point. Well, in 1986, in April, they're running these tests, and they pressed a button, and it reminded me a lot of the Supermax 8 situation that's going on right now with Boeing. They pressed a button that they thought they were supposed to press that shut down the power plant during this testing system. What the Russian government had discovered in 1976, 10 years before, was that if you push that button at that particular moment, when the power plant starts back up again, it doesn't reintroduce boron, I believe. It introduced graphite. And that causes an explosion and a meltdown.
Mm.
And so they were never told, because the Russians wanted everybody around the world to think that their nuclear program was top-notch.
Nothing to see here, yeah.
Fail-safe and nothing to see here. So they discovered this in 1976, but they didn't tell anybody at any of the other power plants.
Oh,
so this was, again, a disaster waiting to happen. It's a lot like the Supermax thing. The pilots weren't told not to press this button, or they needed to press this button when the plane started doing this. It was the same kind of thing. Boeing was a disaster waiting to happen. 2 of them happened. One of these disasters happened in Russia at Chernobyl. So the core explodes, and then it starts to melt down, and radiation is being leaked everywhere. And this series does a really, really great job of capturing the horror of what radiation does to the human body. I mean, it is so hard to watch when certain characters go to visit people in the hospital and to see what radiation is doing to the body. And very simply, if you are contaminated, your body begins to melt from the outside in and from the inside out.
Oh my gosh.
Your veins just start to melt.
Yeah,
your skin just starts to melt. Everything melts from both directions, and it's slow. And because the veins are melting, you cannot administer any painkillers. So the victim is sitting there without any medication, and sometimes it takes days or weeks for death to come. And so you are just melting away in a hospital bed, and it is so grotesque. I am now convinced it's the worst way to go. 100%. It's
the
worst way to go.
Especially with no pain relief. Yeah, and I've flown by it and seen a couple of those scenes, and yeah, it just looks like an extreme burn victim.
Yes.
That's in the hospital bed.
Didn't a couple people stay inside there to somehow stabilize it, knowing that they were just sacrificing themselves?
Gordo, I think that's what makes this miniseries so fascinating, because it's showing me the full story for the first time, and I know they're probably taking a little creative license here and there, but yes, they didn't know how to handle this. And it shows the ministers, the heads of state, and Gorbachev, and they're all trying to figure out how to handle this without the world figuring it out. And they have this one professor who knew how this nuclear reactor worked and how to contain the problem and what to do. And so he was a bit of a renegade, but they had to listen to him because he was the smartest guy in the room and he knew how to handle it, and nobody else had a clue. So they are faced with a hurdle every day. And the first hurdle is when it happens, the workers at the plant are trying to control it. So the boss at the plant is sending people into the core to see what's going on. Those people, of course, are exposed to unbelievable amounts of radiation, and they're dead within a week or two.
And that guy's just completely just oblivious to the reality that's happening all around him.
All he's interested in is covering his ass.
Ugh.
And so he's sending people to their death, basically. Well, then they figure out what has happened. So now the Russian government has to figure out how to fix this and cover it up. So the first thing they do is they evacuate an area like 10 kilometers radius. Well, then they see that when word is leaking out to the world about Chernobyl, people in Germany, for example, and the UK, they are telling people to stay indoors. So it dawns on the Russians, wow, maybe we need to make our perimeter a little bigger than just a 10K radius. Maybe we need to evacuate lots of people, like, for example, the people in the city of Chernobyl or Kiev or all of these other huge population centers around Chernobyl. So they eventually ask this professor, what do we need to do here? And the professor says, well, first of all, we have to bury Chernobyl. We have to build a concrete tomb around this thing. You have to have in an area of 2,500 square kilometers around the power plant, you have to dig up the earth and bury it.
Mm.
You have to burn all the forest. You have to evacuate all the people, and you have to kill every animal, domesticated or wild. You have to kill them all. And Gorbachev says, how many troops do I need for this? How many men? And the professor says, 750,000 to get us going.
Oh, my gosh.
And Gorbachev said, okay, because if they didn't do all of this, they were going to basically poison the entire country's water system and, of course, agriculture, crops. The country would die. The country would disappear if they didn't do this. So they start calling up people, of course, all the military. They start just drafting citizens. They have the story of a young boy who's drafted into the platoon that goes around killing animals. So his job every day is to go into these towns that have been evacuated. They're now ghost towns, but there are still animals there. And he has to walk into a barn and shoot a mother dog and all of her puppies.
Now, why do they have to get rid of all the animals?
Because they were contaminated. They could spread the disease. Yeah, spread the radiation.
And, of course, the genetics, too, would be all screwed up if they were breeding, getting all messed up.
Yes. Here's the crazy thing about, you mentioned the genetics. To this day, in people's DNA who have descended from people who were exposed to the Chernobyl radiation, it shows up in their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
And there is no way of telling how many people died because of Chernobyl. And it's really interesting. That day of the firefighters, for example, who were sent in, over the next 2 weeks, 28 of them died. But then 134 hospitalized survivors were followed over the next 10 years, and a good chunk of them died. So they believe that was obviously because of Chernobyl. Well, more and more studies were done over the years, but it's so hard to pinpoint because you can't test all of these people. And some studies believe that the number was in the thousands. Other studies believe the number is in the hundreds of thousands. And other studies believe that because it's so vague that you can't test all of the people who were exposed to all of the radiation that blew in plumes of smoke across Europe, across Asia, that fell in acid rain, they believe it's in the millions, that millions of people have died because of Chernobyl, because of the radiation and the fallout that still isn't even really contained. Chernobyl now is a ghost town. There is a 90-kilometer radius dead zone to this day all around the nuclear reactor, which was eventually put into a concrete tomb. Every animal that they killed, every person that died because of the radiation, they buried in concrete.
Wow.
And there's this dead zone where there is nothing. There's no life, 90-kilometer radius around Chernobyl. No life whatsoever.
So I'd love to see drone footage of that.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a creepy ghost part of our country. But they
our
say
world.
Of our world.
Everybody's
sorry,
world.
Of their country. And they say it goes so far beyond that. There are still every day something pops up of someone 200 miles away, 500 miles away with whatever it happens to be, a third eye or a weird death, cancer rates skyrocketing, all because of the radiation that was spread that they tried their best. And yeah, Gordon, the other thing they sent, there was one meltdown that was going to happen, and it was going to basically kill the world. I'm exaggerating, but that's what they determined. And they had, I think they had 6 weeks to prevent this from happening. And what they had to do was they had to recruit coal miners in Russia to come in and dig down below the concrete pad, which was holding up the core, which was melting down. They had to dig down below the concrete pad. They couldn't use fans in there because they didn't want the radiation air to be blown into their lungs any more than it was. So these guys went down 12 feet underground. They dug this tunnel to, you know, help the core, whatever the logistics were behind it. But they were basically sending these guys to their death. But these guys were coal miners in Russia. They were beaten down anyway, so they were dying anyway. So they said, sure, we'll do it. And a lot of these guys said, we'll do it because it's going to help save our country. Yes, we're going to die. They had to put guys up on the roof to clean up some of the debris. And these guys, if they were exposed to the debris for longer than 90 seconds, they were guaranteed to die within 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
And these guys said, okay, we'll do it. Now, a lot of these workers weren't told the complete truth. There is something about the miniseries. We could talk about Chernobyl, the accident, forever. The miniseries is fascinating. The miniseries is incredibly well done. It was produced by Sky, which is a British production company. There is one thing that I cannot get past, and this is, I'm now 4 episodes in. Every single Russian has a British accent.
It's the go back, you know, it's the fail safe accent to go to.
It's what? Driving me.
No matter if it's Star Wars.
It's
or
driving me insane.
Whatever.
So this is from a scene in the boardroom with Gorbachev. The first voice you hear is one of the ministers. The second voice is the main character. He's the professor who knows everything about the nuclear reactor. And the third voice you'll hear is Gorbachev. These are all Russians.
Bukhana reports that the reactor core is intact. And as for the radiation...
Yes, 3.6 Röntgen, which, by the way, is not the equivalent of one chest X-ray, but rather 400 chest X-rays. That number's been bothering me for a different reason, though. It's also the maximum reading on low-limit decimeters. They gave us the number they had. I think the true number is much, much higher. If I'm right, this fireman was holding the equivalent of 4 million chest X-rays in his hand.
Mr. Legasov, there's no place for alarmist hysteria.
It's not alarmist if it's a fact.
Well, I don't hear any facts at all. All I hear is a man I don't know engaging in conjecture, in direct contradiction to what has been reported by party officials.
I apologize.
That's Gorbachev.
So that was number 10 Downing Street's reaction to what was going on in Russia?
Not Winston Churchill. That's Gorbachev. And to me, it's like watching a movie about Prince Charles and Lady Di where they are played by Matthew McConaughey and Dolly Parton and they don't change their accents.
Okay, but could you have fought through all subtitles? Right.
No, I don't want subtitles.
Or the real fake Russian accent.
That's what I want.
Hogan's Heroes kind of sounding thing.
Yeah, I want fake Russian accent.
I want fake Russian. Because the whole British thing is throwing me way off, and the series is done perfectly. The director of the series said that he went with British accents because they're all British actors, because it's Sky, a British production company. He went with the British accents because he didn't want the actors concentrating on their accents. He wanted them concentrating on their roles. But it is such a hang-up for me to see all of these Russians with thick British accents.
Why is that the fail-safe accent? If it's
Star Wars, that's not fail-safe for them. They're British actors.
I know, but it does seem that in our American productions we use that, and if we're trying to portray someone from a foreign country or outer space, we use British accents.
Well, I think we use British accents if we're trying to portray people from antiquity.
Game of Thrones,
Rome,
and they have that too.
But, I mean, I think that Game of Thrones is kind of like medieval times in Europe.
Let me tell you, you'll get hung up on it, but I can't recommend it enough. So great. Watch Chernobyl on HBO. All right, coming up next, an old buddy of ours is climbing Mount Everest.